are talking about, continuing to go on with this series about family, particularly, I believe, in this age where there are so many families that are dysfunctional. I wonder sometimes if there's any family that's not dysfunctional, at least to some degree. And there's so many attacks on family that are going on that we just thought it was good. I prayed about this a lot, that between Mother's Day and Father's Day, we do this complete series, if you will, on family. And so we're going to be talking about how we can bring healing to the family by consulting God's Word. We're looking and addressing different ones in the family. Last week, you may recall, those that were here, that we had some words for wives. And as promised last week, today, it's hints for husbands. Are you ready, guys? No. Some honesty coming out of the ranks. Wives, you may want to take notes for your husbands. You may. I would be a bit surprised if some of the guys didn't, at least sometime during the week, last week, say, you remember that passage we looked at, you know, to their wives? I don't know. You unmarried guys, you may want to pay attention to, especially if you ever plan to get married. Young ladies, listen up too. There are some things that could be real helpful to you when you start, if you haven't started already, to look for a spouse. Now, I don't claim to be an expert on the subject of being a husband, but I do have a little experience. 9 and I will celebrate our 38th wedding anniversary on the 28th of this month. That is, if she doesn't bail on me before then. Lord knows I have given her enough reason over the years to say, you know what, I didn't plan on this, I didn't bargain for this. But praise God, I have been blessed with a wife who has so many of those wonderful qualities we talked about last week. And her greatest thing that I would praise her for today is her patience, you know, with a husband who's not everything he should be. But we're going to address husbands. Are you ready, guys? Once again, I asked that question already. I heard some no's, but ready or not, here it comes. First hint that I have for husbands is this. Are you ready? Follow Christ. You cannot be truly equipped to lead your wife until you do. Husbands, I'm among those who believe that 1 Corinthians 11 does indicate God's intention was for the man to be the head of the home. But what I find so amazing is that many husbands insist their wives submit to them, yet they themselves do not submit to Jesus. And that verse not only says, husbands, you are to be the head of the wife, it says that Christ is to be your head, first and foremost. Ladies, again, this is not to you, but I want to address this, is that I've known some women over the years who have had great concern, some anxiety, some apprehension about their husbands letting Christ lead them. They've been a bit concerned that, you know what, if Christ is the head of my husband, if he really follows him too closely, then I might get the short end of the stick. I might get somehow neglected, I might get used, I might get abused. Let me assure you, nothing could be further from the truth. The more closely your husband follows Jesus, the more blessed you're going to be in your home. That is a fact. That is the truth. Now, guys, back to you. Some guys, they love, again, that part, you know, that you know what, I'm to be the head in the home, and they may neglect that, letting Christ be their head, and they still feel very strongly that wives need to submit to them in everything, whether or not they submit to Christ in everything or not. Is that true? Well, to a degree. Wives, if your husbands try to lead you in a way that takes you away from following Jesus, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. So see, that's so important, guys, that you be following Jesus. If you follow Jesus and lead her in following Jesus, you're going to find a harmony that is so wonderful and such a blessing in your life. Paul and Peter are both quite clear that your wife is to hang in there if you're not following Jesus in hopes that you will turn around. But 1 Corinthians 7:15 says that if you choose to leave her because she won't stop following Jesus, she is free to let you go. That's what it says. So guys, follow Jesus. Follow Christ. Be like Christ to her. That's what we're going to talk about. And you know what? She's going to have more joy and more fulfillment in following you. So here you go. Follow Christ and love like Christ. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 5. He stresses this in Ephesians 5. After spending some time talking about wives are supposed to submit to their husbands and everything, as the church should submit to Christ, he says this: husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now notice, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, he writes, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed it and they cared for it, just as Christ does the church. We are members of his body. For this reason, verse 31 says, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. A quote from Genesis 2. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself. Just as Christ was willing to lay down his life for you, husbands, you'd be willing to lay down your life for her. And fellas, this means far more than being willing to take a bullet for her. Most men I've talked to, most husbands, yeah, they would die for their wife. They would lay down their life in that way for her if that's what it took. But hear me. This is not some hypothetical remote possibility we're talking about here. The Holy Spirit knows the word died, and he uses it frequently. Other passages, he talks about Jesus dying for us, and Jesus did do that. But there's something broader than that here. There's something more substantial even than that here. Paul isn't talking here about dying for her. He is talking about living for her. I'm going to say that again. Husbands, Paul's not saying die for her. He's saying live for her. Lay down your life for her. To do that, how? By denying yourself every day for the sake of her welfare and security. Guys, instead of blowing your money on a new game console or a four-wheeler, you may need to concentrate on what she needs, not what you want. I'm being real. I'm being truthful. There are too many boys who need to man up, lay aside their toys, to serve their wives, to take care of their wives. Instead of goofing off while she loses sleep over paying the bills, hey guys, here's an idea. Get a second job. What? Are you kidding me? My dad did that for my mom. Many of you have had dads who did that for your moms. But wait, you know what? Why should I do that? She can get a job. Her primary responsibility, according to Scripture, is to be your wife and mother to your children. That's her primary responsibility. I'm not saying it's wrong for ladies to work outside the home, but for you to demand for her to do that because you won't man up. and provide, that's a problem. That's an issue. That's a problem. I worked overtime and worked part-time jobs to provide for my wife. You might be saying, well, wait a minute. It's not necessary, though, in our home. I make enough money. I provide enough. It's not even necessary. And my wife doesn't mind working. Okay, but listen. Instead of kicking back then in the recliner to watch TV or play a video game after your long day, leaving her to wrestle with the kids and do the dishes, how about giving her a night off once in a while to do those things? For her to relax, for her to get some time and some quiet time. But you might say, but I'm tired. You don't understand. I put in a long day. So does she. So does she. Denying self. Say, loving her. Like, are we tired? Guess what? She gets tired. If we get hungry, she gets hungry. If we get worried or anxious, she gets worried or anxious. And we are to take care of her needs, even above our own. That's huge, guys. That's heavy. See, we're willing to take the bullet, but are willing to lay down our lives. Big difference. Big difference. Here's the other one. Ready? Be considerate. And the idea in context is like Christ. We mentioned and talked about 1 Peter 3, verse 1 through 6 last week about wives again and their responsibilities and what God calls them to. Well, verse 7 is a verse just following that, and it's just one verse, but it's got a lot in it that talks about this idea. It says there this, husbands in the same way, and I have in parentheses, as Christ, because in context, it's like Christ. Remember, we looked at the wives last week. It says, you know, in a similar way or similarly or in the same way, you know, submit like Christ submitted. And then, hey, in the same way, guys, you're to be submissive. In the same way as Christ, Christ is the context. It says what? Be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Now, okay, can I be honest with you guys? Can we talk? Okay. This one sometimes is harder for me than the others, to be considerate. Just to be considerate. I said last week that sometimes us guys aren't very sensitive. Sometimes we can be insensitive. This idea of being considerate is the idea of considering her, considering who she is, considering her needs, considering how she feels about things as well. And sometimes I'm not real good about that. I never thought I was ADD. I didn't even know what that was growing up. But I'm beginning to wonder if maybe that's something that comes on later in life. You know, I don't know. Because I have problems giving nine of my full attention. Can any guys identify with that? Not giving my wife, but giving your wife full attention? Yeah. Okay, but can any guys, wives, can any of you identify with your husbands not giving you full attention? Yeah, they can. I have problems, you know, giving my wife my full attention when she's sharing her heart, even when she's pouring her heart. I get distracted easily. What was that? I get distracted. I have to when she starts pouring her heart, I have to do this. I have to be disciplined with this. I have to cease doing whatever else it is I am doing. And guess what? You do too. I have to pause the TV show, close the computer program, put down the tools or whatever to give her my attention. I tell you what, my wife and I think wives in general have some kind of radar. I don't know how they are able to do this, but Nina will call me in the office sometimes, you know, and I'm working, you know, and she'll begin to talk to me, and she talks for just a couple of minutes, and she'll say, so what are you working on? Oh, nothing. She says, no, what is this a bad time? Somehow she knows that I'm not giving her full attention even on the phone. Now, how do you girls do that? I don't know. Maybe it's something in the tone of my answers. Uh-huh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know, but she knows. And I said, oh, no, I'm not doing it yet. Now, so I got, okay, close the laptop. And I don't mean this, because sometimes when we say, yes, dear, you know, it's ha, 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 like we don't really mean it. I mean, yes, dear. I'm ready now. I'm ready. Guys, we need to be disciplined about this. We'd be considerate about this. This is important to her. If she begins to tell me something when we lie down at night in bed, I've tried to tell her that's not the best time to talk to me about something that's really, you know, on her heart, because, you know, I maybe haven't seen her all day, and now she's got an opportunity to share something that's burdening her, weighing on her, and she begins to tell me right then, you know. And guys, how many of you know what's likely to happen if you're laying down, it's dark, your head's on the pillow, you know, and your wife starts, what's likely to happen, guys? Doze off, you know. What does that communicate? Whether you communicate or not, what does that communicate to her? It's not important to me, you know, I'm not interested, that's not a priority for me. It does. So you know what I got to do, guys? There's a discipline again. If she starts doing that, I have to set up in the bed, get out of bed, turn on the light. I need a remote for that. But to turn on the light, set back down, look her in the eye, and okay. I have to do that. I have to do that. She needs for me to do that. Now, there are times when I confess, I would say to her, you know, babe, really, I'm really tired right now. Is this really important? And maybe that's not sensitive either. You girls could know, you know, whether. But boy, you don't want to fall asleep when she's pouring out her heart. You don't want to do that. And you know what? We can be asleep when we're awake when it comes to being considerate and attentive to our wives. Need to be sensitive about that. Several years ago, a psychologist friend of mine told us that this was called practicing the ministry of presence. Nina remembers that particular conversation well. Okay? She does. She remembers this ministry of presence idea. And she does remind me from time to time, very gently though, okay, with a lot of tact. We talked about that last week. Somebody thought I said tax last week. No, not thumbtacks. Tact, okay? But sometimes she reminds me, and she'll just say, you're not giving me your ministry of presence right now. And I'll say, oh, I'm sorry. See, because I can be gone all day, being there for everybody else all day, listening to them when they're sharing their hearts. I can be there for them and then go home and not be there for my wife. How many of you think that's right? It's not. It's just not. Even though I'm called to pastor people, I am first to be a pastor in my home, and my wife and my children. And if I give myself to everybody else all day and I have nothing left for her, something's wrong. And that's true of you guys, whatever you do outside of the home, whatever work you do. If you exhaust yourself, you give every bit of energy, every bit of attention to everything else, and you come home and you got nothing left for her, something's wrong. Okay? Something's wrong. My wife is very gracious about that. But I know that I need to be disciplined about it. I need to be better about seeing to her needs. It's my job. Better put, maybe, it's my responsibility. I'm to respond to her and her needs in a considerate way. Another problem that I have, and I think that this is typical of most guys, is that when my wife tells me there's something wrong, I think it's my job to find a solution. Okay? And the truth is, guys, you know, though we will probably never fully understand this, we can't always be Mr. Fix-It. Matter of fact, this will illustrate that.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't...
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? We can work it out.
That's the way it is. Right, guys? Sometimes that's the way we feel.
You know, the problem seems obvious, the solution seems obvious, and we just have this real issue trying to restrain ourselves from just fixing it. But sometimes the fix is that we need to listen. Whether we understand that, whether we fully grasp that or not, sometimes we just, it's all, just listen. No matter how ridiculous it seems to us, ladies, I don't mean that unkind, but sometimes it does. It seems like, honey, this seems to me like, you know, the answer. Especially if the issue comes up time and time again. You know, and once again, that the conversation is around this problem, and we really have even given a suggested solution, but she's not wanting to address that. Okay? We need to be patient, considerate, listen, right? And sometimes the fix, the real fix she needs, is not the surface thing. It is not the thing that we so easily see. It's not the thing that we diagnose. It's something deeper. So we need to be considerate. And that's hard for us, girls, okay? It is hard for us sometimes. But we're going to work on it, guys, right? We're going to try to work on that. So here's what we need from you, ladies, is when you do want us to fix it, tell us. Yeah, tell us. Okay, I'm ready now for you to pull the nail out. And boy, oh, we're there. We're ready. We've got the tools ready. We can handle that. We can do that. It's the physical things we're good about a lot of times, but some of the stuff, so help us too, okay, by communicating the best you can to us as we try to listen, okay? But boy, sometimes it's just about listening. We need patience. Last week, guys, I shared that your wife doesn't want to be your mommy. If she does, there's something wrong in her understanding and comprehension about the relationship. But she really doesn't, I think, if she understands, want to be your mommy. She doesn't need a little boy, someone else to take care of. She needs a husband. Again, she needs you to grow up in some respects, to do what needs to be done, to take care of her, to take care of her needs, take care of the family, be responsible, to be that provider, to be that protector that she needs. She also needs you to be her exclusive and faithful lover. I've been amazed over the years how many things I've read as far as polls are concerned, questionnaires, things of that nature, particularly when it comes to counseling, where wives have openly said that their needs for intimacy are not being met in the home, not being met by their husbands. At a risk of crossing a line here, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul makes it very clear that both the husband and the wife have a marital duty to one another. And in context, it is not doing the dishes and taking out the trash. It's there where he says that the man's body, the husband's body, belongs to the wife, and the wife's body to the husband. and they have a marital duty to fulfill each other's intimacy needs. This doesn't mean, though, guys, she wants to be treated as a sex object. Physical intimacy is important, needs to be nurtured, needs to be cherished in the marriage. But once again, not every touch needs to lead to the bedroom. She sometimes needs you to hold her without expecting your needs to be fulfilled, but for her needs to be fulfilled. That's going to take some communication, some sensitivity, some consideration for that to take place. But it is very, very important. While we're talking about this, in the text we read in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, Paul calls the women, the wives, the weaker vessel. The first application of that usually comes to our mind is, yes, that typically men are physically stronger than women. Typically, I've said before, there's some women I wouldn't want to arm wrestle. There's some women I would not want to go toe-to-toe with. You know, I wouldn't want to do that. They could outwork me. They could whip me. I'd go down. But typically, men are physically stronger. So the idea is to be considerate that way too, to be recognizing that your touch can bring comfort, but touched in a wrong way, in an appropriate way, can cause great harm and hurt. Guys, never raise your hand to your wife. Never threaten to. Never intimidate her with your strength. Never grab her roughly. Never push her. Never hit her. Never, 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 never. She's like the goblet, the crystal goblet. She can be very fragile, and, you know, and your words can hurt her too. They can hurt her very, very deeply. Be cautious. Be careful. She's fragile. And God has entrusted you the thermos, the Stanley thermos, that can be dropped and kicked around and beat up and whatever and still come up working and working fine and functioning. You know what? You may be the Stanley thermos. She's the fragile crystal. Treat her with respect, consideration, gentleness. Do that. Very, very important. Follow Christ. Love like Christ. Be considerate like Christ. Girls, ladies, young ladies, if the guys you're dating now aren't doing that, what makes you think that if they put a ring on your finger, they're going to do that? And it's not to say that one day they couldn't, because remember, your treatment of a husband who's an unbeliever could bring him around, could. But there's no guarantee. There's no promise that it will. It's an if, and it's a big if. So girls, think about who you are spending your time with, who you're pursuing, who you're developing a relationship with. Be very, very careful and cautious. If you're a Christian, you want a man who's going to follow Christ, love you like Christ, and be considerate to you like Christ. That's what you want, and that's what Christ wants for you. Don't sell yourself short. Don't trade off. Don't settle for less. And I'm sure your mothers will amen that, right, moms? How about dads? Will you amen that? See, because this is so important. This is huge again. What if they don't? What if their husbands don't? What if you as husbands? What if I don't follow Christ, love like Christ, be considerate like Christ? What if we don't? The rest of the verse says, do this so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Pardon me? God is saying that if you don't listen to her, he won't listen to you. He's saying if you aren't attentive to your wife's needs, don't expect him to be attentive to yours. Why? She's his daughter. You use or abuse her, he won't be happy with you. In fact, it's very likely it's going to provoke his anger, if not his wrath. If you neglect your wife, do you really think he's going to be quick to come to your aid? Think about it, guys. If your son-in-law mistreated, belittled, berated your princess, how are you going to feel about it? I mean, you know what? If my son-in-laws are following Jesus and they're loving their wives like Christ and they are seeing that their needs are being considered, I'm going to do everything in my power to help them with that, to equip them with that. I'll be there for them. I'll do whatever I can to help them to do that. But if they're not, if they're mistreating her, if they're belittling her, do you think I'm going to be saying, hey, you know what? Hey, what can I do to help you, man? I'll do what I can to help her and my grandkids. You understand the principle, guys, right? It's simple. You get it? You understand that if you have daughters? Well, what's the father think? Husbands mistreat his daughters. It seems, if it seems to you that God isn't answering your prayers, maybe you need to take some inventory about your relationship with your wife. Well, we know about all these other things, you know, well, pray according to his will, you know, pray, you know, and say his will be done. But you know what, here's a very, very firm and clear statement, right? That our prayer life, our connection with God, his responding to us, can be directly tied to the way that we love and serve as husbands. Now, gentlemen, got something more to tell you, okay, and this is huge. Paul said this is a profound mystery in Ephesians 5. It's a profound mystery, talking about husbands loving their wives, about being sacrificially giving and considerate to their wives. And he says, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Pardon me? Talks about the two becoming one. He says, a profound mystery. This is a mystery. But I'm talking about Jesus and the church. There may be no more time in your life that you are more like Christ than when you're responding to your wife in loving faithfulness. Your sacrifices for her can serve as a picture of the gospel. I preach this at nearly every wedding. Paul's saying that people looking at how you treat your wife, and wives, how you treat your husband, it'd be such a great testimony. It's supposed to be a living object lesson of this is how God wants relationship with you. This is how it's supposed to work in our relationship with you. This is how I love you. This is how I serve you. This, how many of us can say, you know, hey, take a look at my marriage, guys, and say, that's how Christ loves. That's how Christ serves. That's how considerate Christ is. But that is what our calling is to be. Amen? That's what our calling is to be. A picture of the gospel where Jesus proposed. I said this last week. I feel so strongly in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. When Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you a rest. It's a proposal. He's proposing. He's saying, come, entrust yourself to me. Give yourself to me. Unite with me. Be one with me. Let me lead you. And you'll find rest. You'll find rest. You'll find rest. He laid down his life for us, and he serves us still. He is able. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing the song together. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the straightforwardness of it, the directness of it. God, I confess before you, it's convicting, and as a husband, I see more of my shortcomings in these areas than I see my successes. But God, I thank you for your patience, for your love, your mercy. I thank you for Christ's faithfulness. I thank you for what he's done and his willingness to equip and to help us if we'll just follow him to lead and nurture, provide and protect as we should. And God, I thank you for our wives and our children. I thank you for their patience with us, for their graciousness and their forgiveness. But God, I thank you most of all for Jesus. I thank you for his loving surrender and sacrifice that we can be one with you forever and ever. And that forgiveness is readily available every day. Every day. When we admit and confess our failings. Father, if there's anyone here today who has not yet accepted your Son and his loving faithfulness, then we ask that their hearts might be moved to do that very thing today. We're here to assist. In Jesus' name.